So this morning, I'm going to talk about creating a historical legal data set using the Law Atlas Workbench, and I'm going to talk about the minimum wage data set that we created as my example. So a historical data set is something that looks at the law across jurisdictions, but also looks at the law over time. So for this data set, we looked at the law starting in January 1st, 1980, and we covered it from 1980 to 2012. So I'm going to talk about kind of how we created the data set and some of the preliminary findings that we had, but I'm going to start by talking about why we created the data set. So the minimum wage data set is part of a larger project that explores social determinants of health. So social determinants of health are the conditions in which people are born, live, work, and age. They include availability to clean water, stress, employment, social support networks, education, and transportation, among other things that make up the circumstances of our everyday lives. So how does the law affect health? The law, along with economic conditions and social conditions and politics, helps shape the way we live and the resources we have available. They affect the broad economic and social conditions that affect exposures to risks and protections and shape behaviors that affect health outcomes and health inequalities in populations. So the law is a key determinant in the conditions in which we live, so we decided to try to understand how the law affects health so that we could better improve policies. So for this project, we chose to evaluate the effect of multiple policies on children. And the reason that we decided to do that is because the foundation for our health is in adolescence. So things that affect people in childhood affect their life throughout their lifetime. So we thought that if we could improve the health of children, we would improve kind of a health trajectory throughout someone's lifetime. Key determinants of health in our study population include socioeconomic status, early life and childhood development, and education. So we decided to evaluate policies in kind of two big areas, income and education, and the minimum wage is the first data set that we created in kind of the income domain. So we created this data set following the key steps and principles that we developed at PHLR to create a legal data set. As you can see from the slide, the first step is to define the scope. Then you systematically collect and code the law. You create code books and protocols. And finally, you update the data set. And I'm going to walk you through each of these steps and talk about some special considerations that we had to think about when we were creating a historical data set that looks at the law over time. But before I do that, I want to point out that these steps are not discrete. They overlap, and we have specific quality control processes that we've developed to kind of ensure that the data is both accurate, but also to make sure that it covers everything that's important about the law. So the first step in the process is to define the scope, and there are several things that we do to define the scope of a legal data set. We identify secondary sources. We write background memos, we consult domain experts, and we begin discussing a preliminary list of variables. And when we create the preliminary list of variables, it looks something like that. So for this series of data sets, the guiding issue was the research question. And because we were interested in how minimum wage laws shape the economic conditions of individuals, we focused on provisions for workers. So we wanted to know what were the wages and who did they apply to. When we were defining the scope of this data set, we also had to think about what was available. So since we were covering the law from 1980, we had to see, you know, what law we could get. And in the beginning, we were really interested in looking at how specific wage laws apply to certain populations. So there are wage laws that apply to disabled workers or to students, also seasonal workers. But we found that a lot of that stuff was in administrative materials, which we couldn't find to cover our entire time period. So we kind of had to limit the scope a little bit based on what was available. So once we define the scope of the data set, we began to systematically collect the law. And to do this, we develop a search strategy, which outlines the type of law to be measured, where we're going to collect it, and how we're going to collect it. Once that's complete, we test the search strategy, and then we began to systematically collect the law. Once it's collected, we enter it into Law Atlas. So this is the step in the process where things get really complicated if you're creating a historical legal data set. The reason for that is because there aren't legal texts readily available, like full legal texts, in kind of traditional legal resources going back any further than about 1991. So to create the legal text that we needed to cover the entire time period, we had to collect session laws and then actually build the law from the information in the amendment. So we started with this, and then we made it into that. And then eventually we entered it into the workbench alongside the coding questions. So after we established the scope and collected the law, we developed a coding form in the Law Atlas workbench that's intended to kind of capture the important elements of the law for our population. What you're looking at right here is the form where you enter questions into the workbench. And for this data set, because we were interested in how the laws affected workers, we looked at provisions regarding what populations the minimum wage applied to. We looked at the specific minimum wage rate, and we examined how that rate applies. So right now you're looking at, again, the form where we enter the questions, and once you enter all the questions, you simply hit a button and they load into this form, which is actually the coding form. So what you're looking right here is the coding form in the Law Atlas workbench. This is what researchers use to code the law and to create the data. A new entry is created for each version of the law in every jurisdiction over the entire time period. So for this data set, we had about 1,300 records. I'm going to walk you through the elements on this form. So the first thing is the law. So that's where we enter the law that we collected, and that's what the coders read when they code the information. We also have the jurisdiction, which for this data set was a state, but in the workbench you can really have any jurisdiction that you'd like. We have the effective and the ineffective date. So this is a way of identifying what policy was in effect when. So you just mark the date to cover the time period that that version of the law was in effect. We had to do this about 25 times for every jurisdiction in this data set. And then finally, you have the questions. So this is where the questions that we entered into the form I just showed you appear. So the form is a tool that we use to create the data, but in addition to this tool that we have processes that we follow at PHLR to make sure that the data is accurate and reliable. So we always have at least two researchers coding every data set, and their coding is supervised by a supervisor. We have our researchers complete duplicate coding, which means that two people code the same record for the same jurisdiction. And what we're trying to do there is make sure that they're independently concurring on the decisions that they make. So we have the supervisor who checks on the data every day, and they take notes about caution flags, errors in the data. If they recognize a divergence, they record it, and then they talk to the coders about what they found. And this is intended to ensure that the data is accurate and reliable. In addition to that, at the end, we have a naive coder come in and code 15% of our records, and that's another check on the data to make sure that everything is accurate and reliable and that we're kind of covering every aspect of the law that we think is important. So throughout the process, we create a research protocol. And the research protocol is just a step-by-step guide that kind of documents the process that we follow to create the data set. We begin creating it at the beginning of the process, and we update it with kind of every step that we follow throughout the process. So it contains details of the scoping process, the development of the variables, the search strategy, any kind of problems or issues that we identified in the coding. And the reason we create this is to validate the data. So it's a way of showing people that use the data, these are the methods we followed. And it's also a way of saying, you know, this data is valid, you can follow our process and recreate it. In addition to the protocol, we create a code book, which is just a book that describes the variables, and it's actually created automatically by the workbench when we finish the coding process. So once the data set is done, and I've kind of described the process really briefly to you, but the beginning, creating the data set is kind of a heavy lift, but once the data set is complete, updating it is really, really easy. You just have to, you know, take the amendment, enter it into the workbench, code it, and it's a good way of making sure that the data set stays up to date. We try to update our data sets kind of in real time. We aim to have them updated within 2 weeks of an amendment becoming effective, and it's a really, really easy process once the data set has been created. So what did we learn from this process? Well, the most important thing that we learned is that it is possible to systematically code the law over time. There are challenges to creating these data sets, but you can overcome those challenges and you can track complicated policies over time, and you get really valuable information about the law. So in terms of the data, we learned that minimum wage laws differ significantly across states and over time. We identified 18 important dimensions of the law, and they change about 25 times on average. This included changes to the wage rate, the calculation of the wage rate, and the applicability of the wage rate. And as you can see on this slide, we now know what the minimum wage was in every state by month since January 1st, 1980. We also found some patterns in the law. So we found that when the federal law changed, a lot of states followed suit. We also learned that states changed their rate based on the federal rate. So sometimes they changed their rate to be either equal to the federal rate or to be greater than the federal rate by some amount, 50 cents, a dollar, something along those lines. So that's what we learned about the data, and we learned that this process can be followed and that you can get valuable information about the law over time. We're still creating more data sets for the Social Determinants Project. We've also created an earned income tax credit data set and an unemployment compensation data set, and we will be working on welfare. So that's everything I have. If anyone has any questions.
Any questions for Sarah?
Yep.
Is the idea that you're making this available now for researchers to use what you've built?
It's not available now. We're actually working with a team that is using the data and comparing it to some data that they have. At some point, we will release these data sets on Law Atlas, but right now, since it's tied to kind of a larger project, we aren't releasing the data.
So you're doing some of your own research with
this? Yes. In the back?
And so are you eventually then going to sort of develop an algorithm for the different elements that you're charting, minimum wage and so forth, and like the health status? Is that the idea?
Yeah. The idea is, yeah.
So health status, this is very interesting. So health status of people at that time, like the data over time, or health status of a cohort of kids whose parents were working in 1980,
so unfortunately, because it's part of an ongoing project, I can't really talk about the data that we have that we're connecting it with, but that will all be released when the project is finished and the analysis is complete.
And so what's the time frame then on this?
So we finished the data sets in the income domain this spring, and then we move on to education, so it's probably another year. Anything else?